Hi, I'm James Brundage. I'm a tester with the Windows PowerShell team, and today I'm going to talk some about how to use WPK. WPK is the Windows Presentation Foundation PowerShell Kit. That's WPFPK. And it's a set of tools that help you write your own user interfaces in PowerShell script, and it ships with the Windows 7 Resource Kit and is available online. All right. So WPK is designed to make writing user interfaces something that any individual can do, not just UI experts. And in showing how quick and easy it is to use WPK, we're actually going to go through four different small programs in the next couple of minutes, and of course the ubiquitous Hello Worlds. So to start out with, we're going to go ahead and do our Hello World, and we're going to make a font size of 48. And we're going to use dash show to display it. So in WPK, every UI element that was available in the Windows Presentation Foundation is available in the form of a new. So there's new button, new label, new text box, new text block, new list box, new combo box, new media player, so on and so forth. So there's actually about 600 news that get automatically generated from everything that was in WPF, and using these commands, you can actually get almost full parity with everything that you could do in C#. And you can try to work with your user interfaces interactively, which makes development of them significantly easier. So in fact, I'm going to take this Hello World, and I'm going to make this a Hello Channel 9, and I'm going to make it 56 font size, and I'm going to use font style italic and font weight bold. I'm using tab completion, which is a nice feature of PowerShell to actually walk through all the different parameters for the commandlet. And tab completion in this particular case is very, very handy because, well, there's about 130 different properties that you can set on any given UI element. So this helps work your way through what you can set just by tabbing through the different possibilities. In fact, if I often need to find an event, I'll just go on underscore and tab through everything until I find one that looks like the correct thing. So I made my Hello Channel 9 italic and bold. I'm going to show it again. If I omit dash show, I actually get the real .NET object, which I could use in C#. And if I put dash as job instead of dash show, what happens is it actually creates a background job to display the UI. So I can still do stuff here, even though I have a UI here. So Hello World's okay, but it's not really a practical interface. But I will show one that everybody uses every day, and that's a clock. So here's a clock written in WPK in a grand total of 5 lines. I create a new label, I make it a 24 size font, and when the label is loaded, I use a command that's built into WPK, register PowerShell command. Register PowerShell commands designed to help make it easier to work with commonly used scripts at specific intervals of time. So this registers a command with this script block, and the script block is going to change $window, which is the top level windows, content, which is going to be the label here, and it's going to change its content, which is what we're going to display in the label, to getDate, which is a PowerShell commandlet, pipe to outString, trimmed. Now when I run this, I actually get a nice localized human-readable form of the date. So I can actually get a clock that will work the way that people would want to see it in the US and the way that people would want to see it in Europe and in India and all around the world in 5 lines. And I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to run this script block with the dash run switch in, I'm giving it a time span here, this means a half second. And I'm using as job so it doesn't block my pipeline. And here we go, I have a very simple clock. And again, I can run other things while it's up. So a clock's all fine and good, but you probably want to do something a little bit more practical. Since PowerShell's somewhat aimed at IT administrators, we're going to actually show you a very simple process monitor. And the process monitor consists of a list view, which can display any number of columns, which has a fixed width and height of 350 by 350. And uses data binding to actually populate what's in the list. Data binding is a thing that's everywhere in WPF, and WPK supports it very nicely by using the data binding ubiquitous parameter that are on all the new UI elements, like new list view, or new label, or new button. The key in the dictionary that you're going to pass is the thing you're binding, and the value is the binding itself. And in this case, I'm creating a binding that will bind the item source of the list view. That is, the items that it will display in an asynchronous way, updated when the property changes, using the path output. By default, data binding will apply to the data context of the UI. And data contexts are really great because you can have one data context shared throughout the entire UI. Data contexts simply walk up the stack looking for a data context to use. So if list view didn't have the data context for output, then it would look on the parent of list view's data context to see if it could find out view or output. The view on this list view is a grid view, which allows its columns to be reordered with two columns in it, the name and the identifier. And the data context is going to use some other interesting parts of WPK to run a script to give us the processes. Get PowerShell data source creates a data source object that you can use to bind date or bind output from PowerShell script as it comes in. And the script that it's going to run is get process, and we're going to pipe it to for each object, output it with this dollar underbar, and start sleeping for a small little bit, about a 20th of a second, just so that we have enough of a delay so that we can see that it's an asynchronous data binding. In most common cases, you'd actually just do the get process or get service to display the items in the list view. When the command is load, or when the process monitor is loaded, we start out by registering a command to run in 15 seconds that will go ahead and get the window's content, which is the list view, and get its data context, which was this PowerShell data source, and set its script, well, back to its script. And what this actually does is it ensures that the command restarts. So by resetting the script at a fixed interval, I can make sure that instead of just binding to the processes once, I bind to the processes every 15 seconds. And I'm going to go ahead and start my process monitor. As you can see, it's populating asynchronously. I'm going to go ahead and start up Notepad here. And I'm going to go ahead and use my favorite little Win7 trick and wiggle this down. In a few more seconds, we should get a refresh. There it goes. And we're going to close this out. And again, for reference, the clock was only 5 lines, and this list view that does an asynchronous monitoring of the processes running on your system is only 16 lines. Comparable code in C# starts at 100 lines. So you can have 16 lines just in using statements to get code to get there that does this sort of a thing. The other thing that I'm going to display today is how to make a really quick video player in WPK. Now, WPF is a very, very nice basis for any UI framework because of how much investment they've put into it. WPF has about 130 UI elements that you can use, and one of them that we'll use today is this media element here, which allows me to play sounds or videos. Now I'm going to create a new window, and I'm going to allow drop on that window, and I'm going to use on drop here, this event, to control what I do when a file is dropped in. And I'm going to start out by getting the drop file list, and I'm going to ensure that it's actually a list by using at parentheses, which is a PowerShell convention to force something into a list. And I'm going to index into it and grab the first one. So if I dropped on 10 files, it would only take the first, but by default, it will just grab, or by most situations, you'll only be dropping one file. So what I'll do is I'll then set the content of the video or media element to be the file, and I'll play it. When the window is loaded, I'm going to go ahead and set the content randomly to one of the sample videos, and then I'm going to go ahead and get the full name of that sample video and set it to source, which will start playing it again. And when I close the window, I'm going to go ahead and manually stop it. Inside of my window, I just have a media element, and the loaded behavior of the media element is manual, which allows me to play and stop it and pause it at will. And again, I'm using as job, so I don't block any of the playback. So when I run this, I should get the very simple Windows sample video in a second. Now, there's the wildlife video for you with a somewhat annoying sound. So I can then go to my videos here, and I can actually grab other videos and play them as well. And so I have a very simple video player written in just 13 lines of code. And the final thing that I'll show is really practical, and that's a small data UI. One of the really common cases for WPK is just making a simple dialogue. Making a simple dialogue is something that almost everybody needs to do every once in a while. They want to collect a specific group of information from someone, but they don't have that much programming background to do it. So what people end up doing now in the real IT world is they actually end up sending out Excel spreadsheets or Word documents and manually retyping what was in one and putting it into another instead of making a UI that collects the data and runs it for them. So I'm going to show a really quick UI that creates a form to collect my user information, specifically my last name and my first name. This uses a grid, which is one of the very common containers you're going to run into in WPF. The two most common containers you'll use are probably going to be grids and canvases, although stack panels are also quite popular. A grid allows you to arbitrarily lay out information in rows and columns, and those rows and columns can be defined either to be an automatic size, a specific pixel size, or an amount of remaining space. New grid is actually a lot easier to write than the XAML form of this, which I'll show in a second. So here, new grid is going to create a new grid that has two rows, and since I don't specify a specific size, it's actually going to just make them both of equal size. And it's going to have one column that's auto-sized and one column that's one star. And one star is one factor of the remaining space. So you could have one star, two star, three star. Three star would take up 50% of the remaining space. Two star would take up two-thirds of the remaining 50%, and one star would take up the last bit. So you can use these grids to do very, very nice layout at a very, very low cost, and you can specify them in PowerShell in a way that's much less cryptic than the XAML counterpart. This is how much XAML you have to actually do to get the same thing in WPF. Inside of this grid, I'm going to define this text change to be the script block here. The brackets normally mean a script block in PowerShell. And the script block is going to be used as an event handler when the text changes on both of my dialogues. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and resolve a resource to get the first name and last name. Get resource and set resource are commands that are built into WPK. Set resource will set a resource at a particular depth, so you can register a resource to work either on your label or on your label's parent or on its parent. And get resource will go ahead and take the resources that you've set and will retrieve them for you. So by using get resource and set resource, it's possible to efficiently locate the controls that I've created, which can be a little bit of a problem in scripted UI. So I go ahead and get the first name and select object first name and expand the text of it, and get last name and select and expand the text of that. And then I update the parent of either of these controls and its tag property. Tag's just a general bag of stuff you can put into a object in WinForms or in WPF. And I give it a string, which is dollar last name, comma, dollar first name. So Smith, comma, John. And then I create the rest of the content in the grid. I create a new label, first name. And then I create a new text box that's in column one. And when it's loaded, it just sets itself at depth one, negative one. So it goes and sets a resource in the parent, that is this grid up here. And this resource will hold itself so that I can locate it inside of these control handlers. And the value of this resource is this control. Then the next thing it'll do is create a last name, and it'll put this in the second row. Rows and columns are zero indexed, much as most of the things in the programming world are. And the text box below that, or on the same row, will contain last name. It's in column one, just as the other text box was, and when it was loaded, I go ahead and set the resource. And on text changed for both this and that is this script block that I've defined up here. And up here, I'm defining dollar name to be the output of this. So dash show and dash as do some interesting things. Dash show will actually go and look at the object that you displayed, and it will check for certain magic properties to output them. first and foremost, it'll check for a tag, and if the tag isn't there, it'll look for stuff like selected items in a list or the content of a control. And in this case, $name is going to be the result, which is the tag that I'm setting here. So when I run this, I get a dialog asking for my first name and last name. Because of the row's behavior, as I resize that dialog, it still looks relatively normal. I'm going to go ahead and put in my first name and last name, and I'm going to close this out. And $name has the information that I put in later, or earlier. So I was able to write a really simple dialog to collect a couple fields from a user in about 15 lines. So we've seen three or four different examples of completely different types of applications to build in WPK in almost no code whatsoever. We have a clock in 5 lines, a video player in 13 lines, a process monitor that is in 16 lines, and a small UI that collects data that's in 15 lines. This should give you a brief sampling of all the different power that's there in WPK, and I encourage you to start looking at it more yourself. It's again it's part of the Windows 7 Resource Kit, and it will be available online with the companion content. Thank you very much, and I hope this helps.